Welcome to the Digital Government Podcast. Tune in to discover the future of governance and ways of getting there.
Welcome back, everyone, from your usual host, Federico Plantera, journalist, sociologist, and researcher, to another episode of the Digital Government Podcast. Today, hosting as a guest, Christina Mand, Program Director of the upcoming e-governance conference 2024, one of the, if not the, actually, main event, let's say, of e-governance academies here. And so I'm very glad to have you, Christina, here to introduce the conference.
Hello and good morning.
So, Christina, I would actually start from last year's conference for a couple of reasons. First of all, because the audience of the podcast and also of the conference in general, as well as the people who participated offline in the conference in Tallinn, already got the chance to see you and to hear you, because you have been doing the closing remarks of the conference days, together also with Hannes Astok, who was on stage introducing the speakers. And just to give a few numbers, actually, about the last year's e-governance conference, it was the ninth conference for e-governance academy, and there was a record, let's say, that was set, because we hosted about just short of 600 participants from over 90 countries in Tallinn, while people at the same time were able also to join the conference activities online. And there are a few changes in this year's conference. Last year we were talking, first of all, the topic, because we're always changing that. So last year, the topic was digital innovation as catalyst for social change, while this year, instead, we're focusing on unlocking digital success. But Christina, even before getting to this year's conference topics, one thing that I want to ask you is, you seem to be enjoying the process of organizing and participating in the conference. So, I mean, I think the best place to start is actually a little bit of a personal consideration from you on that.
Indeed. I've been to, I believe, three conferences organized by EGA. And last two, I've been also sort of somebody who wraps it up, either the day one or then on day two. And I like to look at things comprehensively, sort of see how they form a synergy or an interaction between different topics and how it all comes together. When you report on something or you summarize something, you do it afterwards. So this year, I have a task of, you know, doing it beforehand, thinking how different concepts, different elements, different topics and different trends and different experiences would work together to present a comprehensive story of unlocking digital success and, of course, finishing with what should we look for in the future? What are the elements of success for the future to consider them as well?
You said that you have participated already in more than a few of the conferences that were organized by EGA. Is there anything exactly in line with this approach of the comprehensive view, maybe, that you have noticed, let's say, in how the conferences have changed, let's say, from year to year, meaning in terms of participants, in terms of topics? Was there something that maybe you have noticed that caught your eye before we go into this year's program?
Well, I would believe that when you talk about digital governance in general, right, that's what we do. We are not talking just about any digital developments. When we talk about governance and digital transformation in governance or governance for digital transformation, then I think in all its 20 years, EGA has, even before we organized conferences, but in other events, we have always looked at the interaction between people and their skills and what it is that they need and what it is that they are able to do, then provide supporting it with a smart technological solutions, because not any solution is good for anything, but you have to be really smart what you are copying, what you are using, what you are developing, what you are buying, and then putting all, or also the process or the governance part of it. How do we get there? How do we make those decisions? Because without one, the other two are not really successful. And I would say that the whole way EGA has operated since its birth 20 years ago, through all its programs and training programs and conferences, and also now the competence centers, we are trying to have that understanding. And I believe that all the previous conferences, whether they deal more with innovation or they deal more with a decade of development, or they deal more with digital vulnerability or responsibility or anything, they all pretty much look at a comprehensive or holistic view at how governance should be developed, how digital transformation should be increased.
I think that exactly one of the exciting things, let's say, about introducing but also talking about the governance conference is that I've also participated in a few of them, in a bit more than a few of them so far. And, you know, also from my personal perspective, I could say that I always see the yearly conference of the Governance Academy a little bit as a, first of all, as a snapshot, because it always takes a little bit of a picture, let's say, freezes in time for a second what's been happening in the digital government landscape basically worldwide, and not just because EGA is involved and committed to projects around the world, but also because of the participants that we get at the conference, who indeed come from so many different countries, so many different really like geographical areas of digital governance and cultural areas of digital governance. So in one sense, it's a snapshot to see what's been happening and what is happening at the moment and where do we stand. But at the same time, the interesting thing that I see is exactly that the governance conference, it's also a moment of synthesis in a way, and of matching. So of matching exactly what you mentioned and referred to of the people, the topics with the technology and the tools. Because again, it's just another moment to restate something that we often say exactly about digital government, which is we need to know the needs, we need to know where we want to get to, and then comes the point of which tools do we use to get there? Which tools do we use it to exactly unlock digital success? And this connects us perfectly to the title of this year's conference. So, Christina, give us some information about it, meaning what does it mean unlocking digital success? Why was this topic formulated in this way as the umbrella for this year's conference activities?
We discussed what we want to have as a key message from EGA this year. And we all felt that we want it to be something that's positive, something that is allowing people to show what they have done well and where they have achieved well. And even if they have made mistakes, what have they learned from them? But also realizing that the last year or 2 years are totally, totally revolutionary in many ways. And perhaps many things that were like basis of success before might not necessarily be the same also in the future. I mean, AI would be the most obvious reason, for example, for people to come in mind that the world will never be the same. But then you also have war, right, that disrupts a functioning digital society, but despite destroying this society, as we see in Ukraine, actually makes it stronger and makes it develop much better than expected by many people. So there are different and then in the future, what are those skills that we are actually looking for? As futurologists say, you know, they are not only technical skills, but you have a lot of skills that are related to empathy, related to conflict resolution, related to creativity, related to collaboration. And collaboration is one thing that comes up almost in any discipline that you are looking. What is the future of that particular discipline? You know, whether it's business or whether it's politics or whether it's digital transformation, it's collaboration. And we wanted to show that. We wanted to show that diversity, geographical diversity, but also experiences diversity. And yes, we know and we believe that you have digital success when you are able to continuously learn. You have national initiative in your country to undergo digital transformation. You have a systematic approach to the advancement on governance and regulations. You use smart technologies. You have enlightened leaders and competent societies. But probably there is a lot more we need to do. So in short, what has made us successful so far might not necessarily be the same skills or same circumstances that will keep us successful or make us successful again. And let me just finish this answer by bringing this example from Estonia that when we talk about Estonia's success story, then the first thing that most of the people who know Estonia's story talk about is a Tiger Leap. And could we repeat Tiger Leap now? No, not with the same way, not in the same manner, not with the same methods, not with the same skills, because things have changed. So when we would like to now have a different Tiger Leap, which we will and which we're going to hear about on the stage in May, then what it is like, what's the future going to be like, and what are the skills from leaders, from specialists, from communities, from organizations, what are they going to be like to have another successful jump?
Kristina, fascinating also, thank you already, because with this last point, you don't even know that, but with the last point, you went straight into a thought that I was having in my head exactly regarding a little bit, you know, the ages of narration, let's say, about digital government. What do I mean with that? In the sense, for example, in one of the past conferences and also in a few of the contents that we have, on the website of eGovernance Academy, we've talked about, I don't know, the ages of digital transformations, for example, with Linnar Vik, I remember. And at the same time, you did include in the picture contextual factors, like things that are happening in terms of microdynamics and that do change as well the digital government landscape. What do I mean with that? That you have made reference, obviously, to the topic of war, as it happens exactly due to Russia's aggression in Ukraine, but also in all other places around the world, for example. Parts of Africa have been also subject to a series of golpes or like coup d'etat, let's say. The Middle East at the moment also undergoes big issues in that sense. But even before what we saw in international relations, let's say in the past couple of years, before we just had the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then before the pandemic, we had also 2 or 3 years of major political changes all around the world. So one thing that definitely I think we can take away as a point of interest that we bring as audience first and then also as speakers into the conference of this year is exactly that, in the same way as in terms of collaboration, people and agencies should not work in silos, at the same time, the practice of digital government cannot remain isolated and waterproof from understanding what's happening around it and how the society is changing and how macro dynamics are affecting exactly the way that, first of all, the needs of people. Second, the context within which these needs change and take shape. And third, as well, how practitioners from the government perspective are supposed to react to these changing needs. So in this sense, and since we mentioned the practitioners, I think that maybe we could already like make a few names. Let's make a few names. So sure. Who are some of the people that we're going to see on stage and also online at the governance conference of this year?
Yeah, we have already, started with a program. Many elements, obviously, contribute to digital success. That's clear, right? We have chosen the ones that we felt that EGA has noticed, EGA has competence, or we together with our partners and many sort of trendsetters around the world have worked with. So one of the One of the aspects that we would like to see be discussed during the conference is definitely the topic of education, whether it's a skill building or whether it's a competence creating or what have we, but it's to do with education, because education is something that breaks down so many barriers. It breaks down racial barriers, it breaks down gender barriers, it breaks down social barriers, and you know, I'm 100% believer that education makes a world a better place. But education also needs to be renewed. What we teach, how we teach, in what manner we teach, because that sort of, you know, 18th century pre-industrial era classroom teaching might not be needed anymore. So what can education bring or has brought to this story of success? And on the topic of education, the most notable speaker that we would like to welcome on the stage for opening is the president of Estonia, Alar Karis, who has been the head of Tartu University for many, many years. No better person to actually address the topic of education. But in addition, we would also like to see topics such as how do you work with people in the process of digital transformation? And we look at it from three angles. We have, for example, a session on connecting digital transformation and green transition. How do you use digital tools to engage citizens so that green transition will happen and will be adaptable to the communities? One of the speakers there, for example, is the vice mayor of the city of Tartu, where the conference will take place, and he is actually telling what is happening in that town where we are all gathering. We also talk about what is the framework of the digital transformation and citizen space framework from legal perspective, because quite often we see how there is this understanding that digital needs separate laws. And the point is that not necessarily. We have to review the existing laws, no matter what topic they are. Do they include digital component? Because it's digital is not coming on the top of your sort of normal or previous way of living, but it's substituting it slowly. And the laws should take that into account. So when we talk about laws that able or disable citizen engagement, the voice of the people, and so on, we have Dag Rutzen, the CEO of the International Center for Not-for-Profit Law. And the third component, for example, from people's perspective, is services, because the public services are so important. We depend on them. Our well-being depends on them. Our prosperity depends on them. And therefore, they need to be designed in a way that they are people-friendly, that they are people-centric. So last year, we had a whole session talking about how the decision should not be made in a boardroom, but actually with the people who benefit from those decisions or who are affected by those decisions. So this year, we go straight into designing good services. And the keynote speaker there is Lou Down, who is a former design director of the UK government, so UK's public services. I expect that the Lou's message will also reiterate very clearly that if a service is not a good service, making it digital doesn't make it any better. If it's crap, if you make it digital, it will be digital crap. So let's make it good from the very beginning, and digital just improves it. Because let's remember that EGA's mission, we say that we want to work with digital transformation is because we believe that it makes the world more open and more prosperous place. So everything we do, what we use digital for, should also contribute to this openness and prosperity idea. And service is definitely something that most likely affect people very close home, very close to their heart as well. Right. But on the top, we also talk about how countries have survived war or are surviving war and yet are managing to actually digitalize them despite the wartime or crisis situation. So this is going to be our Ukrainian team, EGA's Ukrainian team. But also we have a session on the main stage where we talk about, based on Ukraine's example, how a country that is not a member of EU can prepare itself digitally to either become a member or be ready to collaborate with the European Union in much easier terms. So it's not only made only meant for our countries that might join EU, but also countries who just want to collaborate with the EU. And we expect the Minister of Digital Transformation, Valeria Ionan, from Ukraine to be on the stage together with other practitioners and experts from Ukraine. We also look at building the best digital business environment, because that is super important as well. The companies, you know, need to be part of that. And of course, improving cybersecurity culture, because this is something that we cannot be without. And I expect that to be a very interesting keynote delivered by Andrew Grotto, who is a former senior director for cybersecurity policy at the White House, in discussion with Merle Maigre, the head of the cybersecurity competence centers. And there will be many others. We talk about EU, we talk about wallet, we talk about de-identification. I'm sure that AI will come up. And we are going to expect also many ministers and many CIOs, including the chief information officer from Estonia, Lukas Ilves, who I hope will talk about how Estonia is navigating digital change successfully. And our last keynote, we would like to hear from a professor of Tartu University talking about the future of success from brain's perspective. So let's see how that works, because, well, you know, you never know. One day that digital chip is on our head, and our success, our digital success, doesn't happen outside us, but happens in our head. I'm jumping ahead of things now. I hope that won't happen yet.
Exactly.
But you know, we had this news a few days ago that Elon Musk is trying something like that. So we don't know what's expecting us. But the point is, you might not like it. I might not like it. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't discuss those things, right? And
absolutely.
And we have a few other folks who are already confirmed, and very, very happy to see both people we know, people we haven't yet met, but we have heard of, to all come together and share their vast knowledge, interact with the audience, and of course our guests to come here, listen, participate, network, renew their existing contacts and projects, and look for new ones.
Kristina, a mixed salad of many great things, actually. I mean, almost, I would say, as every year, exactly, at the e-governance conference. But this year, again, as we said, updated, let's say, and also with a slightly different focus, exactly that now, you know, I was mentioning before the topic of narratives, let's say, in digital government. And I can clearly remember how up to maybe 5 or 6 years ago, the discussion, let's say, or like the topic of success stories was very much in fashion, let's say, back then. And then a number of things happened that disrupted many of the certainties that we had. But at the same time, as you have mentioned, among the difficulties, among the threats, among everything that was happening in that sense around the world and changing contexts, still, governments and digital government practitioners have made a lot of steps ahead. So it just makes sense to get a point, like to get a point in time, let's say, a snapshot, as I said before, that does take a picture also of the things that have been achieved. You have mentioned many of them, and I would also add to that simply where some of them also, you know, come from, let's say, like why or how. I'm assuming we have decided also to integrate those in the conference program, because, for example, before I mentioned, I mean, you mentioned war and you mentioned the case of Ukraine. we saw, for example, in the past couple of years, how in the meantime, it was a matter of, of survival exactly, the fact of developing a digital government that could allow the Ukrainian state to still serve its citizens, not just within the borders of the country, but also outside, for example, with digital tools like the DIA app. At the same time, I have mentioned the case of a continent, of Africa, saying that, yes, things have happened on the geopolitical sphere there. But at the same time, I remember how last year, you and me, actually, we were exactly talking about how interesting and nice it was to see so many interesting cases and case studies and success stories of governments in Africa that are doing things. We talked, for example, I remember about Uganda. I remember also some other countries in West Africa, So there is a lot happening there, a lot of digital development and a lot of innovation that is a success story, obviously, and that needs to be talked about. Something else that you have highlighted is exactly who is going to be one of our main speakers at the conference, Alar Karis, who, exactly as you said, was the director, yep, right, of the University of Tartu for many years. And this is also another news, let's say, about this year's conference, which is the fact that it's happening in Tartu and not in Tallinn. Tartu is the second largest city in Estonia, for everyone in the audience. Beautiful, calm, place for reflection, and definitely also within the Estonian context, the place of education. If I'm not wrong, the oldest university in Estonia is exactly the
Tartu, from 1632. Yeah, the oldest university in Estonia. It has a few more there, but that's sort of why we call it the university city.
And Alar Karis, for him, it will be sort of a homecoming in a way, no? Because it's a place that it's familiar to him. But Tartu in general, like just I will say this just for the benefit of the audience, Tartu is a place that also myself as a foreigner who has lived in Estonia, I've noticed how much many Estonians like hold Tartu very close to their heart, let's say. So it's a very symbolic place, let's say, for the country in that sense. And this year also has another feature that makes it more attractive also to people who are coming to Estonia from abroad for the governance conference 2024, because Tartu this year is what, Kristina? I will let you introduce, complete the introduction to Tartu.
Right. Well, Tartu is the European capital of culture this year. There are a lot of things happening. It's a vibrant city. It's a bubbly city. The end of May is really beautiful. The city has a big river going through it called Emajõgi or Mother River. Some people might be a bit skeptical about how we are getting there. How far is it? It's about 2 hours drive. And there will be buses going, there are trains going, and there are also flights going. So I think it would be great to actually see other parts of Estonia as well, especially to the guests who come from far away, because Tallinn is not only seeing Tallinn is not seeing Estonia, and you will get this amazing benefit to come to Tartu. And those who have been to Estonia before at that time of the year, you already know it. Those who haven't, we also have our famous white nights, which mean that the sun hardly ever sets. So this is going to be a 2-day full of fun and enjoying the conference. Federico, there is one more important thing to say, is that the conference takes place in a fabulous building in the Estonian National Museum, one of the most modern and stylish museums in Europe. And Alar Karis not only was the rector of Tartu University, he was also, before becoming a president, he was also the director of the Estonian National Museum. So for him, it's like several times coming home and being there and addressing the folks who are coming. And then one of the evening events, the networking event, will take place in a fantastic science center called AHA. AHA is an Estonian word like wow. Oh, you know, I learned something. AHA, which is the largest research center in the Baltics. So we are really making the most of what Tartu has to offer. And I hope that our guest from all continents of the world and from many, many, many countries will make the best of it. And we already know that we are going to have folks coming from various African countries, from Latin American countries, from Central Asian countries, and also from our neighboring countries. So we are very, very happy to welcome you to Estonia and particularly to Tartu.
And I would add to this that if, you know, one of the catchphrases or like one, first of all, I would say hashtag visit Estonia. And it seems that we did like a like a little spot, a little advertisement. But I mean, it does deserve a little bit of advertising as well, let's say, because it's interesting. And it's nice also that, you know, the event, the main event for digital government that gathers people from all around the world in Estonia is not just happening in the capital. And also, you know, one of the most referred to points, let's say, about Estonia, it's exactly, you know, oh, such a small place, such a small country. So even more so, it doesn't matter if you're landing in Tallinn, if you're residing in Tallinn during those days. Estonia is small, as we all say. So it's easy to reach other places as well, especially when we're talking about the second largest city. So, Kristina, I would wrap up this episode here. First of all, with one memo. And the memo is exactly that the e-governance conference 2024 is going to happen in May, between May 21st and May 23rd in Tartu, in the locations that we talked about, with the people that we have mentioned, on the topics that we said. Kristina, a final invitation. So just on who is this conference for and why is it going to be worth following it?
It is a great way to discuss the past, present, and future of digital transformation together with experts, together with leaders, together with colleagues, together with policymakers, donors, civil servants, change makers, and civil society leaders at international, national, and local level to hear, to learn, to network, to share, and most of all, to develop new ideas and sort of listen very, very carefully and make fantastic, sustainable plans for future digital transformation in your own countries.
So to all the audience tuning in for this episode of the Digital Government Podcast, the memo is on May 21st till May 23rd, 2024, Unlocking Digital Success, e-Governance Academy's 10th conference this year, happening in Tartu and also online, as usual, in our double hybrid format that will allow everyone who is interested to tune in and join the discussions and follow the topics. Kristina, I think that that's it for today. And the only thing that that is left for me to say is just thanks a lot for talking to us about the conference.
Thank you very much. And looking forward to seeing all of you in Tartu.
And for what concerns me, I'm also looking forward to get you all tuned in again to the next episode of the Digital Government Podcast. That's it also from your usual host for today. And see you at the next episode. Have a good day.
This podcast is brought to you by the eGovernance Academy. Tune in next time.